This is from the October 6th, 2019 service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon.
The scripture reading this morning is Psalm 8. It's on our Old Testament at page 492. I'm going to be reading from the NIV version. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds, and the animals in the wild, the birds in the sky, and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the word of the Lord.
Our New Testament reading from the book of Hebrews is a commentary on Psalm 8, which Mark just read. And so we've heard in the Old Testament this psalm about creation and about our place in it. And in Hebrews, centuries later, how that connects to Jesus and Jesus' relationship to us and to creationship and to God. And I love the reference because somebody somewhere said something is actually a quote right out of the Bible. It sounds a lot like what I say when I quote the Bible sometimes. Somebody somewhere once said something like that sometime. Anyway, Book of Hebrews, chapter 2. Now, God did not subject the coming world about which we are speaking to angels. But somebody somewhere testified, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, and mortals that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels for a while, and have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now, in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them. But we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through suffering. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. And so for this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. This is the word of the Lord. So you think God cares about you? Well, just for this morning, let's say God does. That'll be my working hypothesis. That God cares for us. The question will be, how do we know? Do we have any evidence to back up the claim? That evidence is what this sermon is about. So, one answer or piece of evidence that God cares is that God visited us. When we talk about Jesus, what we say is God was with us in Jesus, right? Emmanuel. We say it at Christmas time a lot, which is one way to say Emmanuel, to refer to God with us. That's what it means. So God visited us in Jesus. And the fact that God visited us is evidence God cares about us. That's my argument, my piece of evidence toward my hypothesis that God cares. Now, you could dispute that claim. You could give all kinds of other reasons for the visit. Anyone ever have a visitor that didn't care about you? Or visit someone that you didn't care much for? Maybe God visited us to spy on us. Maybe God had other motives. Tourists, take them as an example, right? They don't always seem to care about the places they visit. Sometimes people just visit some place for fun. They go to a place, they wander around, they eat food, they throw the wrapper, sort of take advantage. Miners, hunters, loggers sometimes visit a place to see what they can get out of it and don't leave it in the best condition when they leave. A hillside bare of trees, is that really caring about the hillside? You could make a fairly good case that it is not. That might be another argument. So you might argue that a person could visit a place and not care about it. So similarly, God could have visited us in Jesus and just not cared, but did it for some other reason. Maybe God visited us just for fun or to judge us or something like that. Maybe. But according to the scripture readings for today, according to Psalm 8, our psalm reading, God visited us and was mindful of us, cared about us, and in fact, the word in Hebrew that is translated visited is also translated cared. It's the same word. It's the same word in Hebrew. It means visited and it means cared. So at least for the Hebrews and the person who wrote Psalm 8, it's the same thing. Visited means cared. Cared means visited. You can't do one without the other. You can't visit a place or a person and not care. Not if you're the writer of Psalm 8 or a Hebrew. If you don't care, you haven't visited. Instead, you've done something else. Other than visit, y'all can think of a word for what that might be. So God cares for us. And the evidence is that God visited us, and that's according to Psalm 8. Now, according to the same psalm, Psalm 8, we're given dominion by God. God gave humans dominion over creation, which means we're given the job of caring for creation. How do I know? Well, go back to Jesus. To do that, we go to Hebrews. And Hebrews commentary on this psalm. Hebrews in the New Testament, hundreds of years later, focused on Jesus and saw the psalm through the lens of Jesus. Hebrews says that Jesus was given dominion. Jesus was given dominion over us. So we have dominion over creation. Jesus has dominion over everything, including us. And so if Jesus, who is the very embodiment of God caring, has dominion over us, then our dominion over creation must be about caring too, right? I mean, or would you want Jesus to treat you like we sometimes treat the world? Hopefully, dominion's about caring in this case. To care about the world around us, to care about other people, to care about plants and animals, not to be tourists or people who take advantage of. At least that's what the New Testament says here in Hebrews. God cares about you, sent Jesus, visited, so God wants you to care too, as the caretakers. That's at least what Psalm 8 and Hebrews push us toward. However, you all know where I'm going to go. The word dominion is not always used that way, right? The word dominate comes from the root word for dominion. We know this. It's pretty clear humans have not always cared about the world or people around them. What we've done, at least sometimes, is pollute or overfish a waterway or bring animals to the brink of extinction. It's reported in the latest National Geographic and the latest Time magazine, if you want evidence. What we've sometimes done is enslaved other people or paid them poor wages instead of fair wages. At least sometimes some people have done these things. So, not used dominion in a way consistent with Hebrews or Psalm 8. Sometimes they backed up their idea that they have dominion and used Hebrews and Psalm 8 to misuse Hebrews and Psalm 8. So what's that about? Could it be that sometimes we are not acting the way God would want us to act? Is that possible? So consider that. Is our exercise of dominion out of sync with Jesus and with our faith? And have we misused the idea of dominion? Are we doing it wrong? Well, while you search your heart for an answer to that question, let me tell you this story. Annie is from Malawi in Africa. I knew Annie and I knew her husband Augustine when I was a student in seminary. Augustine was in the PhD program. He was one of my tutors. They lived in New York City. And Augustine is named after that Christian saint from the 4th century, Saint Augustine of Hippo. If you've ever taken any Christianity or religion or history classes, probably one of the most famous ancient Christians, if you've ever taken a religion class, you've likely come across Saint Augustine and that famous book of his, The Confessions. Saint Augustine lived in North Africa in the 4th century where Christianity started. Christianity didn't start in Europe, didn't start in America, didn't start in the Middle East, it started in North Africa. And Augustine, the Augustine I knew in New York City 20 years ago, also came from Africa. He was from Malawi, though, a little bit further south. But Africa nonetheless. However, there's a big difference between North Africa and Middle and Southern Africa. Middle and Southern Africa had never heard of Christianity, had never even heard of St. Augustine for centuries and centuries later. And so the people in Middle and Southern Africa learned about Christianity from missionaries who came from North Africa and Europe. Several hundred years ago, my ancestors, and probably some of yours, missionaries, traveled to Africa with fervor, anxious to spread the gospel to every corner of the known world. And in so doing, they collaborated, I think, unfortunately, with some European imperialists and helped them dominate lands and peoples and resources from those lands. And they did it under the banner of dominion. And then, several hundred years later, I, their descendant, sat in a seminary classroom in New York City and learned about Christianity from an African named Augustine from Malawi. It would be an incredible small world story if it was mostly about caring. If it were about visiting each other right across continents. Remember what I said about before about visiting and caring? We visit because we care, and we care. To care is to visit. Well, the thing is, sadly, Christian history is not all about caring. It's a lot about visiting. Missionaries and imperialists teamed up with disastrous results. And yet sometimes there's amazing care and incredible things that come out of this. Augustine and Annie were full of things I did not expect. I expected Augustine to know more about Christianity than me because he was a PhD candidate and I had studied for a master's degree. What I did not expect was the spiritual strength of these two people. Annie was somebody who you look in her eyes, you meet her, and almost immediately you believe she could heal you on the spot. Years and years later, I met Annie unexpectedly in a library in Pittsburgh. She was studying in seminary there for her degree. In Pittsburgh, the city with the most Presbyterian churches in the United States of America, did missionaries, undoubtedly from Pittsburgh in the 1800s, ever expect Africans to study at Pittsburgh Seminary? Well, expect it or not, things happen. And circumstances reverse. And we who are given dominion are also subjects. Subjects of Jesus, it says in the New Testament. Jesus, who cares deeply for us. The nations that are visited send visitors. And hopefully that visiting, to some degree, is about caring for the sake of everybody concerned. Think about how Jesus exercised dominion. According to Hebrews, he lowered himself, it says. Christ, according to Hebrews, for a little while was lower than the angels. Jesus walked among us on the earth, suffered on the cross. Jesus' dominion led him to and comes out of his death. And Jesus' death led to life. For all of us, the dominion of reversal and of surprising, amazing love and care. So, what does it mean for us to take care? On this World Communion Sunday, how can we care for this world and for each other? Because I think the two things are connected. And what might it mean to be united with followers of Jesus around the world? People all around the world on this day are celebrating communion. On this Sunday right before Stewardship Sunday, the kickoff is next week, we think about the next year. What does that mean for us to take care of our stewardship of this place and this community as an act of saying thank you? God visited us. God visited this world in Jesus because God cares. God cares about this world and us. And God cares about everyone in it, we the creatures, who were given dominion over this beautiful place that we are visiting until we return to God.